and proceeding to share the exchanges between Z. Charnot and a good friend T.E.W. or T.W. And Z is answering T.W.'s questions interlinearly. On Saturday, November the 19th, 2005, Z responded. When T.W. asked the question, "What is the standard or measuring stick by which graduation for a service to others person will be measured? How is this judgment made?" Z replied, "Everything is made of consciousness. Consciousness is the co-emissive fundamental. There are self-referencing emanations and other-than-self emanations emitted simultaneously. They return to a comparator structure called the assemblage point. This is what makes knowing by connection possible. We choose whether we edit the pattern and energy in our environment or whether we edit the pattern and energy within ourselves. We are a processing center. We work towards relating more, to more extensively, and more appropriately. If, alternatively, we choose to always dominate and to control our environment, to make that environment conform to the pattern and energy within us, if we choose to furnish the highly defined, alienated, and isolated self with conditioned exchanges, we are following a path of service to self. We face an abrupt future when we find it is not extendable, when we are forced to open to the challenges of a larger scheme." T.W. said, "My background of studies leads me to think that any judgment or measure would have to be made based on the development of the individual, based on choices the individual has made. It seems it should be available to all, no matter what system of belief is used as a tool. In addition, it seems that it has to be an energy-based determination that is based on resonance and sacred geometry somehow." And Z responded, "The Platonic solids have apices, edges, and faces. The apices, or the issuing lines, and the edges, the issuing bands, are cathodic and emissive. The faces, receiving streams, are anodic and absorptive. There is a constant and continuous flux and flow, or contraction and expansion to the zero-point energy field and from the zero-point energy field." T.W. was commenting about Carla's channeling and about the 51% of service to others, the 95% service to self for the polarity harvest. And Z responded, "There is a balancing of the co-emissive flux, dependent upon the system size. Determinant pattern is possible as long as the disbalance isn't greater than about 16%. T.W. wrote another letter to Z on Wednesday, November the 23rd, 2005, and the subject is question regarding statements of Jesus regarding eternal life. "Dear Z, since you mentioned earlier in an ASC2K posting, which is the forum hosted by David Wilcock, that you had spent quite a bit of time contemplating the Christian systems of belief and had occasion to evaluate some of the Nag Hammadi writings, then I would respectfully submit a question that's been on my mind to you to see if you might have some comments to offer. In the KJV traditional Christian teachings, I see Jesus asked on several occasions how someone might obtain eternal life. On other occasions, we see Jesus speaking of the kingdom of heaven. And we see recorded a time the Pharisees asked when the kingdom of heaven would come. And Jesus answered that it would not be here, not be seen here or there, but is within. Now, with the discoveries of the Nag Hammadi library of texts and the number of statements Jesus made in the KJV of the Bible, King James Version of the Bible, about certain mysteries being withheld from the masses and given to the disciples or apostles, we do seem to see some support for a Gnostic tradition or understanding of the scripture. To me, a Gnostic understanding of the scriptures aligns the pattern of the work of Jesus much better with indigenous and ancient traditions of the work or path of an initiate toward a conscious connection with all that is, where once established, the initiate could then be said to be living, working consciously in both the world of spirit and the physical world. In a number of metaphysical teachings, it is said that upon incarnation, we enter the world of space-time, and upon leaving the incarnation, we change focus to a world of time-space, or perhaps timelessness. My intuitive feeling is that what Jesus spoke of as eternal life may not be equivalent to what he spoke of as the kingdom of heaven, but may be rather an aspect or component of same. It almost seems like there are two different but related threads of thought in the King James Version of Scripture for the path or responsibility of the student initiate in attaining eternal life and or entering the kingdom of heaven. In Hebrews, we see the verse as it is given to man once to die, but after this, the judgment. This appears to be at the minimum speaking of a life review following the shift away from physical life expression into time-space, and at the maximum speaking that there is only a single physical incarnation allowed. Systems of belief outside of Christianity seem to support the concept of cycles of incarnations, and it seems that nature also demonstrates growth through cycles. You have written that cycles are an important part of our reality. Would you care to comment on the term eternal life and what you observe may be implied by this term and how it may compare, contrast, or support the concept of the kingdom of heaven? Sincerely, T.W. T.W. writes again on Wednesday, November the 23rd, 2005, and this is titled "The Manifestation of Material Reality in the Hopi View." Dear Z, I came across this information today, and I see this author constructed a pretty good summary of what I was telling you I read in the book by Benjamin Morf, a linguist that studied the Hopi language. Since you seemed interested in this, I thought I would pass it on. The excerpt from this material is at http://www.rainbowbody.net/finalempire/fechap13.html. It's titled "From the Unseen to the Seen: The Manifestation of Material Reality in the Hopi View." We picture reality and its meaning through language. The inspection of the languages of different cultures reveal that each lot lives in radically different worlds. The semanticist Stuart Chase says, "There is no one metaphysical pool of universal thought. Speakers of different languages see the cosmos differently, evaluate it differently, sometimes not by much, sometimes widely. Thinking is relative to the language learned." Please proceed to part 7.